Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello. Welcome to our show. This is Lady Carolyn. And today we're going to be talking about girl talk on sticking and staying in relationship. And I have a special guest today. I hope. This is a special treat today as I talk with my dear friend. And before we get started, we're going to have some prayer. Minister Davis, are you on the line? Okay. Maybe she's not here yet. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to have this day. God, we thank you that you are in the midst. God, we thank you that you allow us to be your servant. We thank you that you are restoring marriages and relationships all over the world. And God, we pray right now that you will be the words and help us to be able to help somebody, to be able to strengthen their relationships and believe in their relationship and have that hope in their relationships and know that love bears all, endures all, that love never, ever fails, God. And whatever it is that's in our heart and in our minds that keep us from being able to operate in love, God, we ask right now that you remove those things that are not of you and help us to be able to operate in love as you have ordained us to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And again, I am Lady Carolyn, and the topic is Girl Talk on Sticking and Staying in Relationships. And this is a special treat today as I talk with my dear friend and minister of the gospel, Anita Davis. And we will be having a discussion on the topic of how we can learn to stick and stay in our relationships past the work and become able to operate in love. We will be identifying the ways that we lace up our sneakers and get into the sprint position, just waiting on the pistol to sound so that we can run away when the relationship stops being all fun. And we find that we now have to do the work in learning how to operate in love. Amen. Amen. And our scripture today is going to be coming out of 1 Corinthians 13, the way of love. And we're using the Message Bible. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have nothing that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And that's the word of God for the people of God. And right now I'd like to introduce our guest. I'd like to introduce to you Minister Anita Davis. How are you today? Okay, you're not getting her. Okay, so I don't know if she's running late or what's going on with my friend. But we'll just carry on from here. One of the reasons why I picked this topic is because a lot of people are having difficulties sticking and staying in relationships, and it's not easy when you have a lot of pain going on. But it's the pain that goes on in relationships that makes us have difficulty in just sticking and staying past the fun. You know, all relationships are so much fun when it's early in the relationships and we're looking at each other and sharing all the good times and everything. But there comes a time when you start finding out those little things about a person that make you say, Then you try to figure out, why am I here and what am I going to do? Okay, you're on the line to Davis? Okay, I thought that she had said that she was here. Okay, but one of the things that I would like to share with you is that it's very important that we do understand. Okay, Minister Davis? Hello? Minister Davis?
Hello?
Okay, hi, welcome.
Okay, I was trying to let you know I was there. I don't know what I did wrong.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank
you for inviting me. I'm doing pretty good. I'm real good. God is blessing continuously. Good is
Amen.
Better is here and better is coming. I'm in a betterment state.
Amen. Okay. You remember our topic? We're staying, sticking and staying in relationship.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I was just trying to wing it a little bit. We're just talking about how when relationships start out, they're a lot of fun. It's new, and you know, we don't even think about the issues that are going to come up, but they usually end up coming up, and then we get ready to run.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing that, yes. That's generally how it goes. Well, when it's fun and games, everybody, I'm a sign of here I am, hear me. But you really know who you're dealing with when it comes down to are you going to stick around through the storms? Can we weather the storms together? Are we going to be good for each other? Because it's when you see the essence of who you're dealing with. That's how you really start seeing who you're dealing with.
Right. And as women, you know, the thing that I've been learning in my relationship is that we got to start looking at ourselves. We got
yes,
to start
ma'am.
Looking at that we add to the relationship that become those issues that sabotage our relationships, as we were talking earlier, our outdated survival skills.
Yeah, I think every relationship that you go through and you are in at some point in time, you acquire some type of skill from it. Some skills are developed to get you through that time, and then other skills or life are helping you continuously becoming a better person. I think it's when you get to the place where you have to understand what it is I need to keep and what it is I need to delete.
Exactly, right. Because a lot of things that we think that we're going to keep and maybe, you know, put those defenses up is what keeps us from being able to operate in love, because we believe what we think. And it's not
yes,
so
ma'am.
Much about trying to protect ourselves in our relationships. We need to be able to enjoy our relationships, relax in our relationships, and get to know what kind of relationship we are in, because we can't take all the baggage from every relationship that we ever been in and bring it into a new relationship and expect this relationship to be different.
Oh, yes. It's almost like when you're bringing all that baggage into your current relationship, you create a self-imposed process because of the way things were, you know, you started recreating the same, you get caught in that same cycle because you don't know how to delete the stuff that it wasn't good.
Right. That's right. Because when you haven't done anything before, you know, what I learned in this marriage right here, I found out that I had never really actually tried to operate love. I always tried to operate in self. And when you've never done anything before, I think it's especially hard if you do not give up all the things that you think that you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're really going back to the basics. Because if it's like with anything, if you learn your ABCs, ABC, then in your mind, the right order is ABC. But what is the right order is A, C, and B. Whatever order you learn things in, that's what you interpret as being right. But that's not always the right thing, because we learn through the Word of God how to transform our thinking, how to think like God wants us to think. And when God says this big word, this small, gigantic word called love, it is so, you know, it's so small, but it's so big. And then we have to learn to love like God wants us to love. And that's so different than what the world says how we love is. And we get caught in this, you know, we get caught between what the world says love is and what God says love is. God's idea of love is God's idea of love is so different than what the world says idea of love is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more demanding. God's idea of love makes a demand on you. The world's idea of love makes a demand on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And he holds us, and God's idea of love holds you accountable. The world's idea of love holds the other person accountable. Oh, they did that to you. Oh, that's how, you know, it's always what they did to you. It's never what you did to them.
Right. Because as women, we've got to learn how to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth about what really happened. Because we're victims in our circumstances, you know, or our standards. You know, earlier about not wanting a person to, you know, not wanting to be held accountable to another person, but we want the other person to be held accountable to us.
Yeah,
I need to
know
what you're doing, how you're doing it, what you're spending, how much you spend, when you spend it, why you spend it, where you spend it, but don't ask me about my money. And don't ask me about my money.
Don't ask me to check in. You want me to check in? Well, I'll get there when I get there. But on the same note, you want that respect, you know, given to you. But you need to be able to give that respect as well. And I think that I know I'm guilty of that. And I am learning. I'm in a healthy relationship now, and I'm learning to straighten up my tiara. We talked about wearing these crowns. Straighten it up. And, you know, not always as a princess and an heir to the kingdom of God, God expects me to operate in love. And so he expects me to straighten up my tiara and treat people the way I would like to be treated. So
exactly.
I think so when you look at your relationship.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, when you look at your relationships, it is an introspect as well as a retrospect.
Right.
Looking
Amen.
At yourself. Look at it.
Mm-hmm. It's always about looking at yourself. And I think that what I really have learned that in all my relationships, no matter whether they were good relationships or bad relationships, I always did get a gift. And the gift was self-exploration. I always got an opportunity to look, even if it was in hindsight or retrospect, to see that I did that was wrong. You know, one of the things I love about going through and studying 1 Corinthians 13 is that it tells you so much about what love is not. And usually what we end up is operating more in what love is not. Like, we got that inventory. You know, we got an inventory of years and years and years ago. And that inventory, we keep it first and foremost in our mind. I remember when this happened. I remember when you did that. I remember, you know,
this went on.
Remember all of that stuff. And as long as I'm remembering that, then I cannot transform my mind
to live in a new day
and rejoice and be glad in this day. Because I'm standing up, holding on to this stuff. that is doing me no good. The only thing it does is cause separation and dissension between us.
Exactly. And that's one of those, isn't it something how God asks you to let go of, to let go of those things that keep you bound? But then in his word, he says that when he forgives you, he casts it in the sea of forgetfulness. And he doesn't even try to remember it. But then when he asks us to do the same thing, that's a hard thing. Oh, my, you really want me to forget this? You really want me to act like it didn't happen? But God does it for us daily. You know what I mean? He forgives us daily. And so, and he even says, he didn't even try to remember the stuff that we did to him. But we want to keep inventory of what we do to each other.
I had a friend once, she told me, she said that, she said, you always think that you're having a real hard time in life. She said, but we never think about the hard time that we're giving God.
I know some of those angels up in heaven are really they ain't waiting to talk to us. Oh, let them hurry.
I know that. Right.
Why y'all put us through all these changes? I know, right?
Okay.
We don't think about that. I know, right? You're so hard here.
Just follow good orderly direction. That's all we got to do.
I know. And then it's interesting how we, in relationships, we get so caught up into feelings and emotions that we literally have to train our minds to remember that we're not led and driven by our feelings. We should be making conscious choices to be stable in the word, stable examples of the word of God. And even though that's not an easy thing to do, it has got to be an intentional thing to do.
And it does, because in reality, when we look at it, because when we start lining our will up with the will of God, then we start seeing things so much easier, you know, the surrender and the peace that comes with that, that we wish that we would just done this a long time ago. Desire to move in that direction, because anytime that you're not lining your will up with God's will, it's hard. It's always.
But you know, the enemy wants us to do that. He wants us to the simplicity of Christ. He tries to complicate it with daily living. You know what I'm saying? He tries to make God says, just let this stuff go. Don't even think about this. Let it go. And the enemy tries to make you feel like a punk because you're gonna let it go.
Gonna
let them treat you like that? You gonna let them do you like that? But in the end, holding on to that stuff only keeps you bound, and you can't really have the freedom to enjoy peace and patience and calmness if you're holding on to a lot of chaos.
That's right. You really can't. You never will. It never works out that way. And we have to be reminded that the way that we talk to each other, you know, we can speak those things into our life. We got to learn how to have a godly conversation with each other. We need to have endurance. You know, even when we upset, that was one of the things that my husband taught me. You know, we was going through, you know, I'd be cussing and fussing and screaming and hollering, and he'd be like, well, baby, well, honey, sweetheart, you know, and I was calling him everything but a child of God in his given name, you know, and he taught me that, you know, it's really hard to hear yourself being that type of person to someone that's trying to exhibit love to you, you know, and learning how to, me and him talk about this a lot, learning how to fight fair. You know, we watch our tone, we watch our terms, you know, be careful of what it is that we feed in each other's spirit, even though we're upset. Because the stuff that we feed our spirit, those are the hardest things to get rid of, because you know that whatever we feed is going to get big.
I know that in my relationship, I think I have been in such bad relationships to the point to where I was always waiting for the man to leave. I was always waiting in my life. The men in my life were constantly leaving, no one had staying power, the ability to stay through the storm. And after I've raised three sons, I'm raising my youngest child now, but in the process of raising three sons, when men were always leaving and I had to stay there and be the parent regardless of who was there, I find that in my relationship now, I think I have tested him on every end, and he is showing me that all men don't leave. And Amen. And he's constantly reaffirming that I'm not going anywhere. And for me, that is good, but I can truly say that I had to grow. I had to stop doing things to test him, you know, and I had to be conscious of the fact that my behavior needed to change because it was not acceptable and it was not good. And it wasn't his fault. It was my hurts and my pains screaming that, you know, let me see if he's going to leave. Let me see if he's going to leave. But at this point in time, I can truly say I'm letting those anxieties rest. And I'm trusting God that if this is for me, then he, you know, and he constantly says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here. I think we as women, once we've been hurt so many times, we start thinking that everybody's going to do the same thing the last person did.
Mm-hmm. But we can't forget that we're the common denominator, though, because a lot of times because we have that train of thought, what we end up doing is pushing people away. It's not that right. Everybody sees, is that we started, we, you know, like you was talking about that chest. You know, and I think mm-hmm. every woman has a bag of chest, you know. you know, he things out, you know, I wonder, can he take this? I wonder, he going to take this? Is he going to do this for me? Is he going to do that for me? You know, and sometimes you have a man that has enough sense, because it's a very smart man that does this. A man that has enough sense to say, I don't have to go through all of this to be with you. I should not have to go through all of this to be with you, because nonsense is nonsense. Foolishness is foolishness. You know, and too many times we afflict our issues on other people. You know, it's like somebody said, you date you, acting like you. And most of the time your answer is no. There's no way in the world I would put up somebody that's treating me the way I'm treating you, you know.
I think it's all about maturity. You have to really mature to the point to where you can see yourself. A lot of times, out of immaturity, we can't see ourselves. Well, we can see everybody else, but we can't see ourselves, you know. I don't think I did that. And I'd be just as wrong as two left shoes. But, you know, one of the things I find I take solace in is that I have good people in my life. Good relationships with other women and in my church, and even with other friends in Christ that tell me the truth. And I'm not offended Amen. By the truth, because I realize that people who take the time to tell you the truth truly love you.
Amen. That's good. That's real good, because women need to know that. We need to know that we are our best resource. We need to stop pinning ourselves against each other, because we are the best resource that we got. Who knows women better than women?
Everybody ain't hating. Somebody truly trying to help you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you need to be told, get somewhere and sit out. You wrong, you know? And not be angry with the person for telling you that you're wrong, because, I mean, people who love you will tell you the truth. People who don't love you will tolerate you and pacify you and will allow you to behave in a manner that is not conducive to growth and development.
Right, and you stay stuck, you know, around those people.
Yeah.
Those kind of people that allow you to stay that way, they're allowing you to stay stuck. You know, and I feel the same way that you do. I like people that are willing to risk my anger, love me enough to see me headed toward the edge and let me know, Carolyn, there's an edge there, instead of letting me fall over the edge and then going around saying, yeah, I saw her getting close to the edge.
Talk about me in the corner.
Yeah. Because we have to help each other. You know, God said that it's through our confessions to one another that we heal You know, we get better when we talk to each other, because there's not too much that anybody goes through that somebody has not went through. You
right.
know, we help right. each other because we face the same dilemmas. If you see every woman in the same room, every woman had the same somebody, maybe not at the same time and not with the same person, but they've had the same feelings. You know, they can understand. And we need to be able to have those type of relationships with each other, because that's what can help us be able to stick and stay in our relationship. We can stick and stay in relationships with others that we just talk to each other with, "Babe, I did that. That don't work." Or
right.
"I tried this. This does work." Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we are, because we are so afraid, and there are some people that have ill motives, and they just need something to talk about and this, that, any other. But, you know, I don't think you're going to, I know you're not going to go through this life and not be talked about. So I've gotten
yeah.
to the point to where if you got to talk about me being fine, but everybody does not fit into that agenda. Some people truly are praying for you and want you to get better. And I think that we as women, when we pray for each other and hold a standard, that we rise up to that standard, we can only grow as mothers, as friends, as wives, as sisters, and as girlfriends and boyfriends. I mean, girlfriends too. You know, if we all can just make a decision, a conscious decision, to get better together. I know some of them, well, they just need something to talk about. All they want to do is they can talk about this and talk about that. Well, unfortunately, some people do need something to talk about. But I can say that it's not everybody. And you pray for those people who don't know, who misuse the opportunities to help each other grow. But it would be a serious injustice to categorize everybody in a state of just wanting to hurt you. And you would hinder yourself. And you just have to forgive. Some people are just stupid. You just have to forgive them and keep on going. You can't even feed into that nonsense. Because if you do, it only keeps you stagnated and you bound.
That's right. And that is right. And it is necessary that we do start developing those type of relationships. Just be able to, if you can be transparent, you can teach another person to be transparent. But if you're wearing your mask, you know, that's one thing, one of my peeves. You know, I don't want to go to the masquerade ball that I didn't know was a masquerade ball, and everybody got on the mask. You know, but if you,
I know, right?
Take your mask off, you know, or acknowledge that someone else has taken their mask off. You know, we can learn a whole lot from each other, And it can definitely help, because the more women that help each other, the more that men are going to be helped, because men learn a lot from us. You know, we're teaching them how to treat us. We're teaching them that, you know, they can't pit us against each other. If we become
wow.
a stronger and unified, then they won't be able to do a lot of the things that they do, that they don't, they may be aware and may not even be aware, you know. So, but it's been, our time is running down. It's been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to minister with you today, and I hope that we'll get another chance to do it sometime, hint, hint. And
well,
at this
time,
I want to ask you, go ahead.
Oh. Happy Mother's Day. You are awesome sauce all the way, and I appreciate you and love you, and thank you for the opportunity. It was a blessing just being a part of what you do.
Amen. Thank you. Definitely a blessing just knowing you. You want to say a little prayer for us? We got about 30 seconds.
Lord Father God, I want to give you the glory for being the awesome, awesome God that you are. We want you to just touch hearts and move minds to a position of healing, Lord, a position of receiving your word and conscious choice to heal, to not hold on to hurt, to not hold on to pain, but to look for ways to love, to look for ways to help each other love, because we can't do it without you, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we appreciate you, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. And I love you, and happy Mother's Day to you too, my friend. And thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. And remember, no matter what the situation is, the circumstance or the problem, the lesson is always love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Bye-bye, my friend.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You think you can pray after that mistake, but I know it's the only